Let's recite the memory verse of the week all together. It's from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. Now, remember, last week we learned about the importance of saying yes to Jesus when the opportunity arises. Because that window of opportunity, as we learned from King Herod, is not always going to be there, right? So here is the verse that we want to remember, and this will urge us to pray for our loved ones and our lost ones. So what's the first blank? Today. Second blank? Here. Third? Voice. Very good. Fourth? What? Harden. Okay, I'm hard of hearing. Okay, good, good. Next? Hearts. And last one? Rebellion. So let's all say it together, starting with the reference, the verse, ending with the reference. Hebrews 3:15. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Hebrews 3, verse 15. And that's why this is urgent, my friends. When you pray for your loved ones, the lost friends, lost family, it's urgent. Keep it urgent. Today, if they hear the voice of God, we pray, oh, do not harden your hearts. Say yes to Jesus. Okay, this week's memory verse, let's show it up on the screen. It's about the feeding of the 5,000, and you will hear from the Holy Spirit, I pray, that it's feeding of the 5,000, but more than that, it's about Jesus offering himself as the bread of life. So let's all read it together. John 6:35. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. John 6:35. Now, children, walk. Have a wonderful time in the kids' house, the little house, baby house. As they depart, hey, raise your hand in your house church. You recite the memory verse together. Raise your hand. Every house church should do this together. Parents, raise your hand if you disciple your children by memorizing the verses together. Raise your hand. You should. And we just saw the covenant and the promise of Paul and Heather saying, oh, we're going to teach this little infant baby how to memorize the verse. You're right. Have you ever experienced a spiritual hunger? Let me repeat. Have you ever experienced a spiritual hunger? I usually wake up early in the morning on Sundays around 5, and by 8 a.m., I am hungry. Guess what I prepare for myself for breakfast? 4 fried eggs, leftover rice, leftover chicken, whatever is left over in the fridge, it's going in there. And after that, my physical hunger was satisfied. And I washed it down with black coffee. Good breakfast. But that's not spiritual hunger. In fact, physical hunger, spiritual hunger, very different. That breakfast I had would never satisfy my spiritual hunger. You may have experienced or are experiencing something people might call a relational hunger. You are wanting that special somebody, that companionship, maybe a Mr. Rye, Mrs. Rye, and you are hungering for that relationship. And when you meet that person, I promise you, that relationship will not satisfy your spiritual hunger. The only thing that can satisfy your spiritual hunger is, wait for it, about 2/3 way of the sermon. It's about Jesus. It's about God. Okay? Now, this spiritual hunger is universal. It occurs to every human being. Everyone here has either thought about it, felt it, or will crave for it. You will crave for that spiritual satisfaction. It's a universal need. In fact, one of my favorite quotes is by none other than Jean-Paul Sartre, the most well-known, one of the most well-known French existentialist atheist. He did not believe in God, okay? He was very eloquent, very articulate, telling everyone there is no God. And he said, this is all there is to life. When we die, we rot. There is no God. There is no life afterwards. But this is what he said. Listen to it very closely. A militant atheist. He said, that God does not exist, I cannot deny. That my whole being cries out for God, I cannot forget. Worth repeating? Jean-Paul Sartre, the existentialist, the atheist, that God does not exist, I cannot deny. That my whole being cries out for God, I cannot forget. That, my friends, is spiritual hunger. We are on this sermon series called Jesus on the Move, Will You Follow? We are taking the entire book of Mark, and we are journeying with Mark with his accounts of who this Jesus is. And today, we are wrestling with the question, is your soul hungry? Do you have this spiritual hunger within your soul? May I encourage you to utilize the sermon notes by clicking your phone camera on the QR code in front of you. And I wonder if there'll be questions about the topic and the teaching. So here is the number to which you may submit your questions. All I ask is that you submit your questions at the conclusion of the message. Shall we go to the word of the Lord? Mark chapter 6, verse 30. My dear friends, hear the very word of the living God. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So can you picture it? Jesus taking his 12 disciples. They were tired, weary, hungry. They needed rest and food. So let's get on the boat. Let's go to a quiet place. People saw them leaving and they followed, picture it, walking on foot along the seashore of Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Galilee, and they're walking ahead of them. So as soon as they land their boat on the shore, the multitudes are there waiting. Verse 34, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, this is the key verse of the passage. Let's read it together. Let's start from 34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Pause. So he began teaching them many things. So remember that phrase, he had compassion on them because they were like what? Sheep without a shepherd. By this time, it was late in the day. Picture it. Sun's going down or went down already. People are tired, hungry. So his disciples came to him. This is a remote place. Another word for that remote place is wilderness. We'll come back to that. They said, it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. They're hungry. They need food. We don't have any. Send them away. And here's Jesus' response. So like him. But he answered, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. They said to him, what? They would take more than half year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? Not possible. We don't have the money. We don't have food. No. Can't do it. Beyond our ability. Here's Jesus' response. So like him. How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. Picnic. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and they were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12. How many? Is that significant? We'll come back to that. 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the man who had eaten was 5,000. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Write these words in the theme sentence. Only Jesus can satisfy your spiritual hunger because he is the bread of life. Only Jesus Christ, as described, introduced, expounded by Mark, that Jesus of the Bible, only he can, meaning no one else can, satisfy your spiritual hunger. The reason? Because he is the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven, the manna of God himself. First point. You have a spiritual hunger, and nothing in this world can satisfy it. You have that hunger of your soul, and nothing and no one can satisfy that hunger and craving. Let's look at verse 34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had what? He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. His heart, his compassion, it means to hurt with. So the word compassion has derived from 2 Latin words. Come, as in community, camaraderie, together, right? Come. Passion means to hurt, to pain, to grieve. It's the passion. So it means to hurt together. I empathize with your hurt. Jesus had compassion. But let's make it even more visceral. In chapter 6 of Mark, that word, compassion, is a very unique and technical word. And here's the Greek term of it. Repeat after me. Repeat after me. Splachnizomai. Very good. One more time. Okay. Splachnizomai. If I had a second son, I'm going to name him that. Splachnizomai. Come here, my son. Oh, love it. Here's what he means. Here's my to have compassion, but a better rendition of the definition is to be moved with compassion. It's not an intellectual thing, it's a visceral thing. Okay, to be moved. Let's make even better. Literally, it means to be moved as to your inward parts. See if I can describe it. Imagine your heart, your liver, all that important organs in your stomach are being ripped apart because of somebody. That's compassion. Okay? Jesus felt in his inward parts they were being ripped apart because he saw the large crowd and he said, what? They're like sheep without a shepherd. Lost. It's quite metaphorical. I mean, obviously, they're not sheep. They are dumb indeed, but they ain't sheep. But they were lost without a shepherd, meaning they were aimless, as in they have a spiritual hunger, and they're feeding themselves they cannot satisfy. Question, why were they following Jesus? This multitude, they came all over the villages, all over the towns, all they heard, Jesus is on the boat. Oh, let's go. Why are they there? Because they heard he healed the sick. They came for healing, physical healing. They heard, oh, he gives the best sermons ever. Let's go hear him talk and preach and teach. Oh, maybe he is our deliverer who will deliver us from the Roman Empire. He is our military king. They came to Jesus for all the wrong reasons. Can he heal? Amen. Can he feed? Amen. Can he rule and lead? Amen. But more than anything else, what Jesus wanted for them was to satisfy their spiritual hunger. And he had compassion. You are like sheep without a shepherd. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you need. Here is a pyramid that represents Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I learned about this about 40 years ago in the university. At the very bottom is the physiological needs, like food, shelter, and home. Thank you, Eric. We can see now. Thank you. Above the first physiological needs, the second tier is safety and security, like protection from harm, okay? And above that, love and belonging, the relationship. You need family and friends and all that sense of belonging in a community. Now, it's a bit controversial because right above that is self-esteem, like your self-confidence, self-worth. It has to do with your identity. Some sociologists would say, argue, nope. Identity, love, relationship is higher, more important than self-esteem. And at the very top is what Maslow called self-actualization. It is, he's talking about your need to become fully self-actualized to your potential. Let me make it clearer. It's meaning in your life, your purpose. Why am I here? What am I doing? And what is my mission and goal and vision of my life? It's finding meaning, all right? Now, at the very top, so when you put all these things together, and at the very point of the pyramid, even higher than that, that will be your spiritual hunger or your cravings or spiritual soul need. And this is why nothing can satisfy in this world your spiritual hunger. Because what do? We try to use these things to fill the need for your soul craving. Put these words. You feel spiritually hunger for your identity, security, and destiny. I don't have time to go in depth with this, but here's my crack at it. Your identity, who you are, your sense of worth. Who are you? What are you worth? How do you get your self-esteem? How do you measure up to your own standard as to who you ought to be? That's identity. And what do? We try to build that identity up with our deeds, our worth. Like, oh, nice to meet you. What do? Oh, I'm a plumber. Okay. Nice to meet you. What do? I'm a brain surgeon. Oh, well, there's somebody. See? It's by what we do, how much money we make, all the things that we possess, we try to build our own identity. And that's why it doesn't work all the way. I'll come back to that. Security. We need a need. We have the need. We have to have this sense of security for today, tomorrow, next week, next month. What does the future hold? We cannot live fully without having that need met. We need that sense of foundation. When cancer comes your way, when unemployment comes your way, where do we land? What's my security blanket? And lastly, I call destiny. Yeah, that's the meaning. What are you here for? What do I bring into this world? Am I just passing by, eating, drinking, playing, and at the end, I die, and that's the end of it? What is my life all about? The meaning. And that's this is the reason for which we cannot satisfy our spiritual hunger with the things of the world. Here, look. Blaise Pascal, the world-renowned 17th century French mathematician and philosopher. Listen to this. There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man, which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God, the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. Did you see what he's saying? There is a God-shaped vacuum, hole, void in your soul. And nothing can fill that hole because it's God-shaped. When our daughter Johanna was like a toddler, my wife and I bought this toy. I thought it was the best thing ever. It's round thing. It's got holes of different shapes. Rectangle hole, round hole. What am I missing? Yeah. That. Okay? Yeah? And this little girl is trying to fit this shaped objects into the hole according to the shape. Follow? It's not going in. Well, honey, look. That's circular, round. That's rectangular. That's a box. So you got to put the white thing in the right hole, right? Now, that's Pascal. Your soul hunger is God-shaped hole. And only God can fill into that void. But what do? We try to fill it with work, fame, money, relationship, being a mom, whatever. And that's why it doesn't fit, and therefore, it will never be satisfied. Pascal's quote is awesome, right? Can I make it better? Let me introduce Russell Brand. You know who he is? Okay? He was an entertainer of some sort, Hollywood type, from Great Britain. He was into drugs, sex, women, booze, everything and anything. And then he became a follower of Christ recently. Listen to this. Addiction, what it means by addiction is idolatry. Whatever you try to fill that God-shaped hole. Addiction, idolatry is the soul's attempt to make the material feel holy. To fill a God-shaped void with pleasure, fame, or chemicals. Sex can do it to you. Sex can give it to you. Fame can give it to you. Money can give it to you. Chemicals can't satisfy the hunger. Only God can. You can never quench your spiritual craving through material means. Russell Brand, of all people, he said it better. So that's the first point. Only Jesus can satisfy your spiritual hunger, and nothing else in this world can satisfy it. Before moving on to the next point, question for you. Will you confess? Confess means say the same thing. Will you confess, say the same thing with the Lord, that you have a spiritual hunger and nothing in this world can satisfy it? Don't speak out loud in your heart. Will you admit? Yeah, Pascal is right. Yeah, Russell is right. Yes, I agree. I confess. Nothing can satisfy my deepest need, the spiritual hunger in this world. Number two, let's get to the grace part. Only Jesus can satisfy your spiritual hunger because he is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. Have you noticed that Mark is trying to echo an account of the Old Testament about the feeding of the 5,000, right? Remember, in the wilderness, multitudes of people and bread everywhere. What does that remind of you? Those of you who know the Bible? Manna, okay? In the Old Testament, people were led out of Egypt, and then God led them through the wilderness, the remote place, and there were multitudes of people, and they were hungry, and they were complaining to God, so God sent manna. Manna means, what is it? That's what it means. Manna means, what is it? They don't know what it was. It was like bread from heaven. They woke up, God covered the earth with this white bread-like stuff, and they said, manna, what is it? It's bread from heaven. And Mark is putting these two things together. Jesus feeding of the 5,000 with five loaves of bread. So here is what I found in one of the commentaries. Mark's feeding of the 5,000 is intentionally shaped to echo the wilderness provision of manna in Exodus 16. The connection is not accidental storytelling. It is typological fulfillment. Fancy word, meaning where Jesus recapitulates and surpasses Israel's foundational redemption narrative. Did you catch that? Meaning, Mark is saying, hey, the feeding of the 5,000 in the wilderness by the Lake of Galilee, that's about Exodus 16. Feeding of the multitudes by manna. And this is Jesus saying, you focus on your physical hunger. I'm going to give you bread. And by so doing, I want you to recognize and realize, I have this physical need for my physical hunger. Oh my goodness. Who's going to feed me for my spiritual hunger? Who's going to meet that need? See, Jesus, the Lord God, is always, always using our common experience to point to the ultimate experience. Look to me. I am the bread of life. You eat of me, you will be satisfied. Let's do the memory verse. John 6, 35. In one voice. Ready? John 6, 35. Going once, going twice. Do we have it? Yeah. Come on. Be patient with us. Stand by. There we go. Okay, ready? John 6, 35. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus says, come to me. I am the bread of life. Eat of me, and you will never go hungry. Obviously, he's not saying, cannibalize me. No, it's a metaphor. He's saying, I am the bread of life. I can satisfy your physical hunger the way you eat bread, and thereby you may recognize and admit, I have a spiritual hunger, and only the bread of life, Jesus, can satisfy. He took five loaves of bread, and what did he do? He took the bread, gave thanks to the Lord, Father in heaven, and he broke the bread. What does that remind you of? Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper. See, the Holy Spirit is such a good storyteller. He is like dropping dimes everywhere. Okay? Yeah? Here, look, look. The Lord's Supper, Jesus, in Mark chapter 14, with the disciples now, he takes the bread. Before he is arrested, before he's crucified, before his death, he takes the bread, gives thanks to God the Father, and he broke it and said, This is my body broken. This is my bread, my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. That's what Mark is doing. Here, listen. Here's a quote. Mark deliberately uses language that anticipates the institution of the Lord's Supper in Mark 14. The event functions as a prefiguration, that is to say, a lived parable of the sacramental meal Christ will later establish. Jesus saying, bring me the 5 loaves of bread. You see what I'm doing? I'm breaking the bread. I'm thanking the Father. I am foreshadowing the bread of life when I die on the cross. I'm going to die for you. My body will be broken for you. This bread will be broken for you so that you may eat of it and satisfy your spiritual hunger. Third point. Only Jesus can satisfy your spiritual hunger because, and only because he is, read it, say it, God. That's the only reason he can satisfy your hunger. Remember, it's God-shaped hunger, and only God can fill it and fit it. And Jesus saying, I am that God. The key verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them because they were the sheep without a shepherd. You know that Greek word, compassion, how do you say it again? Splachnizomai, okay? Very unique word, particular, technical. There are other Greek words for compassion, but only splachnizomai is used to describe Jesus. No one else. In the whole gospel accounts, that word is attributed to Jesus and him alone. Don't you find that unique? Okay? Don't you find that unique? Listen, the verb splachnizomai in Mark chapter 6, 34 is one of the most theologically revealing words in the gospel. Mark is not merely describing Jesus' emotion. He is unveiling the very character of God as manifested in Christ. He's saying, Jesus is God. How does Mark chapter 1, verse 1 start? What is the whole purpose of Mark writing this gospel? He wants you to know one thing and one thing only. Who is this Jesus? His response, he is the Son of God. He is divine. He is the creator God. He is the redeemer God. He is the sustaining God. He is God himself. And that's why he can satisfy your spiritual hunger. There are lots of miracle accounts in the four gospels. Oh, correct me. There's only one gospel account of Jesus Christ. His life, his death, his resurrection, his teaching. One account, but four different versions. Got it? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In four accounts, there are lots of miracles of Jesus. Miracle this, miracle that, right? Okay? But there are only two that are found in all four accounts. The most important one is the resurrection. The resurrection miracle is all miracle. That is the evidence that Jesus is God. He said, I'm going to prove to you that I am God by this evidence. I will die, and I shall rise. I'll be resurrected. Then you will know that I am God. So that's found in all four accounts. The second miracle recorded in all four, guess what? This one. The feeding of the 5,000. I just find it very interesting, don't you? I mean, what is so important about feeding of the 5,000? It's like big picnic? No. Everyone is saying, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they're all saying, look to the feeding of the 5,000 and you will see God. Because only God can satisfy your hunger. Here's a quote about the shepherd thing. Mark chapter 6, 34, they were like sheep without a shepherd is not a random metaphor. It is a dense Old Testament shepherd king motive loaded with covenantal and messianic expectations. Mark intentionally uses language that evokes Israel's prophetic hope for a coming shepherd Messiah. And Mark is saying, this Jesus who walked on water, who healed the leper, who fed the 5,000, he is God, Messiah. Well, let's bring it down. Jesus satisfies your spiritual hunger for your identity, security, and destiny because he is God, the Lord. Remember, your hunger is God-shaped. Only God can fill it, because only God can fit in it. Okay? Identity. Unless Jesus calls you to himself and says, I created you, I redeemed and saved you, and I am sustaining you, and I am making you a child of God. Unless that identity, you being a child of God, is at the core of your being, then nothing else will satisfy your hunger. Your identity. What am I? Oh, father? What am I? A pastor? What am I? A widower? At the core, the number one thing that defines this human being is that he is a child of God. Because nothing can take that away from me. You see? I'm a widower. I could lose my children. I could lose this church. If that defines who I am, how am I going to survive and thrive? But if I'm a child of God, that I am by the grace of Jesus Christ, nothing can shake that. In fact, I go so far as to say, because I'm a child of God, I can thrive in my widowhood. Because I'm a child of God, I may lose my children, I can survive and thrive. It would be very hard. I could lose you all. Hopefully not. But even so, I will survive and thrive. It'll be hard. And that's because at the core, my identity is a child of God. And that's a gift, that's a grace. And since it's from the Lord Jesus, nobody can take that away from me. Not even my unbelief. Not even Satan. Not even death. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Security. What is the source of your security? Do you feel secure when you have, that long, big investment portfolio? You look at it every quarter. Yeah, you go, I feel a bit good. You do. I get it. I look at my bank accounts, savings and whatnot. I go, oh, there's some money there. Oh, whew, that feels good. It feels good. But it's not your security. That's the point. No money can give you or protect you from harm. Nothing. 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 Not your fame. Not your name. Nothing. Only Jesus can, because he is God. And then lastly, meaning, your destiny. What is the purpose of life? Your purpose of life is to give God, Jesus, the glory, for he is your creator. You give him glory because he is your redeemer. You give him glory because he is your sustainer and provider. You give him glory. That is why you are here. Not for your own kingdom building advancement. You are here to give God the glory. In all that you do, in all that happens to you, the good, bad, ugly, and pretty, you give God the glory. And that's why only Jesus can give you. All right, application number one, let's land the plane. Application crawl. Obey your hunger. I stole that from Sprite, right? Obey your hunger. and come to Jesus. He is the bread of life. You will never go hungry. Will you come to him? How many of you, how long have you been coming here? How many times have you heard about Jesus being God and he saying, I love you, I die for you, worship me, love me back? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the rebellion. Come to Jesus. Application: walk. Jesus is commanding you to do something impossible. Feed the 5,000. I can't. It's impossible. Jesus says, what you got? 5 loaves. Okay, now go feed. Oh my goodness. We fed the 5,000. Now, scholars say 5,000 men. And all the Jewish men were married and had children. So one man represents at least 3 people, wife and a child. Okay? No dogs, wife and a child. Okay? So 3 times 5,000 is what? 15. 15,000 people altogether. And he fed 15,000 mob with 5 loaves of bread. Oh my goodness. Today, right now, Jesus, your God, is telling you to do something for his glory. And you go, oh, I can't do that. 15,000 people, I can't do that. Jesus says to you, what you got? What's your 5 loaves of bread? What you got? I can't answer that for you. What's in your hand? What do 5 loaves of bread look like? And you bring that to Jesus, he will do the impossible. Amen? You think it's impossible because you're thinking about 5 loaves. But if Jesus is your God and he says, follow me, bring glory to me. The problem that we have is we just focus on the 5 loaves. Oh, I don't have enough time. Oh, I don't have enough energy. Oh, I got this going. Oh, I got that going. Oh, my goodness. Come, Lord Jesus, take me home now. No. The Lord Jesus, who's sovereign, he does not need my ability. He doesn't need me. But you know what he desires? He desires my availability. That's all he wants. Not my competency, but my obedience. Yes, Lord Jesus. You want my 5 loaves? Sorry, son. You want my 5 loaves? Here. He will do the impossible. So answer the question. What is the Lord Jesus saying to you nowadays? Do this for my glory. And you're feeling, it's impossible. Last, run. Commit yourself to prayer, care, share for 3 people this week. 3-3, okay? You pray for that person, you show care to that person, and at the end, you share with the person the gospel of Christ, that he is the one who satisfies our hunger. Will you follow him? He's on the move. He's on the move. Let me end with C.S. Lewis, another former atheist. He is the author of the Narnia Chronicles, okay? Atheist, he taught at Oxford. He became a follower of Christ. And this is what he wrote about the soul hunger. Creatures were not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger? Well, there is such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim? Well, there is such a thing as water. Men and women, I don't know why he just says men. Men and women feel sexual desire? Well, there is such a thing as sex. Listen, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. He was made for Jesus. Lord Christ, We declare that you are God. We declare by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you are the Son of God. You are our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. We breathe to bring glory to your holy name. Our Lord Jesus, thank you for satisfying our soul hunger, for you are the bread of life. You are the living bread. We come to you. Now, friends, just think, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What is your nugget? Say it in your heart. I believe the Holy Spirit is saying this to me. Just capture it. And for those of you who feel convicted, yes, Lord Jesus, I come to you, for you are my living bread. Offer this prayer in your heart. Lord Jesus, you are my God. You died for my sins. Now I live for you. I come to you as my living bread. And for the rest, Father, I do pray that you encourage us, motivate us, inspire us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And God's people said,